This is the Gospel for Life, where we have four Treasure Valley pastors committed to showing that the gospel is not just for that religious part of your life, but for all of life. You never graduate from the gospel. Around the table today is Russell Herman, pastor at Cloverdale United Reformed Church, Jonathan Van Hoogen from Dayspring United Reformed Church, Vinny Henke from Valley Life Community Church, and Ryan Hemphill from Treasure Valley Reformed Presbyterian Church. To catch earlier broadcasts, just search The Gospel for Life wherever you subscribe. To find out more about this ministry and about our annual conference, go to reformationboise.com.
Welcome back to The Gospel for Life. Yesterday, we worked through these critiques of the conventional approach that God has this mysterious will for your life and you need to find it and you need to discern what door you need to walk down or open or what path you need to find, and that there are all of these, this mystery that surrounds it, and it becomes this kind of odd way to make decisions. We were talking off air. There is maybe my favorite paragraph of any book that I've ever read. It's really two, and it says this, and he's really talking about this conventional way of decision making. He says, "I'll never forget my poor beleaguered roommate talking with me after he took a risk and told a nice young lady that he liked her. They went on a long walk. He was pretty sure she would reciprocate his declaration of affection, but it turned out that she wasn't interested. She was a sweet girl, a good Christian. She didn't mean to have bad theology, but instead of just saying, 'I'm not interested,' or 'I don't like you,' or 'quit stalking me,' or something, she went all spiritual on him. 'I've been praying a lot about you,' she demurred. 'And the Holy Spirit told me, no.' 'No?' my confused roommate asked. 'No. Never,' she replied. And then this paragraph: poor guy. He got rejected not only by the sweet girl, but by the Holy Spirit. The third person of the pretty Trinity took a break from pointing people to Jesus to tell this girl not to date my roommate. I didn't know that was in the Spirit's job description, but I bet at any Christian school, there are scores of men and women blaming God for their breakups. And that's just the conventional approach. God told me this. God told me that. Or we're going to do this because God told me. The Spirit told me or informed me. And that approach is a little bit scary. It's not just a little bit scary. It's a lot scary. So there's got to be a better way. And thankfully, that's what the next chapter is. There is a better way based on the teachings of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. So Kevin is going to start with a passage from Matthew chapter 6, and our faithful reader Vinny has it queued up.
Here we go, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. "Therefore I tell you," says Jesus, "don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own."
So the main takeaway here is what, with regard to the better way?
Don't worry, seek his kingdom. It's, Kevin's going to remind us that this kind of worry and anxiety are really not just a bad habit that we have. They're sinful. You know, if we're talking about the will of God, prescriptive for us, you know, an imperative on our heart to not worry, when we go against that, that's And that's a sinful activity that we're engaged in.
Yeah, I think worrying about the future in this way, as Jesus is talking about, is ultimately the result of a lack of trust in God. I mean, it also kind of betrays a wrong view of God. I mean, do we think he's vindictive and he's just going to throw something, you know, horrible at our way? No, I mean, the way Jesus presents him, he's a loving, providing Heavenly Father who takes care of all of his creatures, and he will provide all that we need, and just to trust in his providential sovereign care.
Then what Kevin is going to say is, okay, that is a broad and a little bit abstract concept.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Seek his kingdom. And so then what he's saying is, Paul kind of helps flesh that out. What does it mean to, when we speak of the will of God or his will or the will of the Lord, what does that mean to seek the kingdom? And then he goes through the writings of Paul to give us four principles. So the first one is,
First, God's will is that we live holy, set-apart lives. And this comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, or your conforming to the character and conduct of Christ.
What is this saying for then how we live with regard to decision-making?
The motivation is, I mean, and it's something too we pray for. I mean, we're praying for the will of God to be done in our life. We're confident we pray according to his will, as John says, that we receive what we ask for. And there are passages like this, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, where it's very clear. I mean, God's will is that we be more like Christ, we be sanctified. And so in the decisions that we make, I mean, if it's not, that's more like referring to moral issues and moral decisions that we're making of, is this, am I more conformed to Christ in doing this or less conformed? And making your decision in those regards. But in non-moral issues, I mean, it's up to what our desire is, preference.
I think the inversion of that is important too, is does this decision conform my lifestyle more to the world's expectations and cultural practices?
Yeah.
Or does it continue to set me apart? I think both of those, the positive, do I align more with Christ in this decision-making, or am I aligning more with the world's values?
Mm-hmm. When I first got out of college and was looking for a teaching position, I didn't think enough about this idea when I was looking for work. Does the town have a good solid church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What type of religious community is this going to allow me to be surrounded by? God's will for my life is my sanctification.
Am I being called to be a missionary in a destitute area?
Yeah.
That's another.
And so those are questions that are helpful to, I wasn't thinking in those terms. I wasn't asking those questions. I mean, I don't think I was willfully running away from those type of ideas. They weren't in my head. And I wish that people had spoken into my life and said, okay, as you're making these decisions, what will this do for your walk with the Lord? Will it draw you closer? Will it make it harder for you to live a life of sanctification? When you're dating somebody and you're thinking long-term, is this somebody that I could see myself married to? What you have to do is you have to get past the immediacy of the feelings of the moment and say, will this help me grow in grace? Will this help me grow in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior? Will this help me live a more sanctified life? Or will this take me away from the core of who I ought to be?
Mm-hmm.
The second is, we are to always rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Where does he base this from?
This comes out of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So these three commands, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in all circumstances. These can be three words or three actions that we measure and evaluate in our decision-making process. Am I rejoicing for the opportunities laid before me? Am I praying through them? Am I giving thanks back to God for the outcomes and opportunities presented to me?
And the great news about these three things is, no matter the decision that you're facing, you ought to be able to do them.
Yep.
That this is God's will. In the moment that you're living, and the sense is, be in that moment, and as you're in the moment, be praying, be rejoicing, be thanking, and then you know you're in God's will. Third, we are to know God's will so we can bear fruit and know him better.
Yeah, this is from Colossians 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
So then what does this look like in just practical time and space?
So this goes back to the two types of will. This is knowing God's will of desire, which we discover by seeking the scriptures and meditating on them and marinating in them so that we might know God's truth and God's will of desire for our lives as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So in practical terms, like you're facing a decision and you can approach it and say, okay, I have this opportunity. Will this make me unnecessarily busy and take me away from things that will help me grow in grace, that will help me grow in the knowledge of God, that will help me bear fruit in my life? Is this a season of busyness that is going to be hard but necessary? I mean, those are the type of things that you want to start asking as you approach some of this. We can't avoid busyness, but there might be some busyness that we should say, you know what? That's going to take away from time in church or time to be able to be with my family or time away from whatever it might be. And so then I need to say no right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this knowledge of his will is ultimately referring to the scriptures, the revealed will. And he doesn't speak to us audibly like he did in the saints of old while he was writing down his scriptures. Not that he can't do that if he chooses to, but the way that he speaks to us is through his word and the work of his Holy Spirit. So that's what Paul's prayer is, that we would grow in our knowledge of his revealed will and be able to use that then with all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
The last one I think is the one that we might need to spend just a little bit more time on, because sometimes it's the one that's the most confusing to people, and is the will of God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
This is going to come out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he jumps down. Oh, shoot, I lost my place.
And the idea is that we're not supposed to be drunk on wine, but we're supposed to be instead filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does that actually mean and look like? And I think that's the difficulty that people have, because the traditional thought is it's the Holy Spirit saying that you shouldn't date this guy. No, never. And so the third person of the Trinity is taking a break from his normal work to tell you to not date the boy, like we started the show. That's not what is being meant here. What is being meant?
It's the Word of God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is also being filled with the Word of God, and that's how he's revealed things to us. And so when we understand that, the Scripture is going to inform our mind and shape our heart and give us the experiences necessary to make good choices in life. And the normal way of the Holy Spirit doing that is by the transformation of our mind.
I'm going to just end with a one paragraph. So he says, so go marry someone, provided you're equally yoked and you actually like being with each other. Go get a job, provided it's not wicked. Go live somewhere in something with somebody or nobody. But put aside the passivity and the quest for complete fulfillment and the perfectionism and the preoccupation with the future. And for God's sake, start making some decisions in your life. Don't wait for the liver shiver. If you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you will be in God's will. So just go out and do something.
The redneck version of that is get her done.
Get her done. We'll see you tomorrow.